Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at the horns, all right? Anybody that does anything with cattle, anybody that has goats, anybody that hunts deer or moose or antelope or rhinoceroses or anything like that, or elephants, and you work around that, you kind of understand what horns represent. You understand the nature, the symbolism of it. And what we find out from the scriptures is that the Bible symbolism and how God designed the nature itself, they're not separated from one another. In Revelation 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The idea, we looked at the number 10 in the last Pure Bible Study that we did, showing that it's the force of the consequences of not following God's law, the Ten Commandments. 10 represents dominion. It represents authority, hence the 10 toes, the 10 horns, and so on. They represent the curse of those not following after the 10 Commandments. Then we have the symbolism of the horn. What does it mean? Think of it like this. Think of it like you're driving down the highway and you see a sign from the government and it says 65 mph, which means miles per hour. Or let's say in England or somewhere else it's like 70 something kmh, kilometers per hour. What does that mean? That sign from the government says that you can go this fast and you cannot go faster than that. Like in some states, like where did I see this? In Wyoming, years ago, they actually put how much the fines cost for how fast you're going. And it's like a guy's going, what, 85? I can afford that. Okay. But anyway, does the sign make people not go over 65 miles an hour? Some it does. No, it doesn't. The sign, the law, the commandment, doesn't stop people from breaking the commandment. The horn does. So think about it. They used to take horns off of animals, cut the end of it off, kind of open it up, hollow it out, and what'd they do with it? Kind of like we do with used toilet paper rolls. Okay? A little silly today. Not much sleep last night. But anyway, so you're driving down the road. The sign said 65 miles per hour speed limit. And you're doing 73. And all of a sudden, you hear a horn behind you. And you look and you see lights flashing and you see the state patrolman going, which means pull over, buddy. In England, it would be please exit, mind the gap. Okay. What happened? The horn made you pull over. See, the law is no good if it cannot be enforced. That's what horns represent. They represent enforcement. I'm going to show you this from the Bible. Think of a buck, deer, I'm using this prop for a Watchman broadcast, not this kind of buck. Think of a buck deer who wishes to explain to all of the neighboring buck deer that this area belongs to him, it's mating season, and see those does over there? They're mine. All mine. Well, the other deer, they're going, who made you boss? Who made you boss? And the buck deer that says, this area is mine and those does, they're mine. The buck deer says, these bad boys up here make me boss. And what did they do? They use the horns to enforce their law. So watch this. Daniel chapter 7 verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold there came up among them another little horn. for whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. That's the same thing that we see in Revelation 13. Then in verse 20, and the ten horns that were in his head, and the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. You see, even looks, even appearance, when we look at people, and if a guy's walking up to you and he's mean and gruff and hairy and big and burly, things like that, we don't ask him if we can borrow $5 from him. Okay? Hey, can I talk to your girlfriend? You don't do that. Okay? And so the looks mean everything. The look of the horns. Daniel 7:11. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, I want you to think of something here. This is interesting. Daniel 7:11, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. Interesting. Because in Revelation chapter 1, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I was praying, and I heard a voice behind me as of a what? A trumpet. The word cornet and the word horn have the same root, because a cornet was usually from a horn. See, cornet and horn have, I'm being serious, they have the same etymology, they have the same root, all right? Because cornets were made out of horns. You've heard of a unit of what? Corn. Corn is horn. A cornucopia is what? A horn of plenty, all right? So the trumpet is the voice of God. It's Jesus Christ. When Ezekiel 33, when we're called as watchmen to sound the trumpet, we're supposed to be preaching the words of this book. That's the warning to people. If they won't listen to this book, you can come up with all kinds of other ways to try to give them Jesus, and they're not going to buy it. Either that, or they're going to buy the wrong Jesus. So the words of Jesus Christ are his trumpet, his horn, and his words have force. If when my children were younger, I would have to use my forceful voice, which didn't sound like, Matthew, would you please go to bed now? Would you please pick up your dirty clothes, Matthew? That was not my voice of force. It was another one. I won't use it. All right? But just kind of think about that. Here's this horn. It's the opposite of Jesus Christ, and this horn has great words that are forcing people to come under his dominion. And then, verse 21, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That is precisely what Revelation chapter 13 says. That's a little bit down the road, all right? Now, the symbolism of the horn, what does it represent? I explain to you that I think it represents force or enforcement, or this is what I said, now do what I said. Exodus chapter 21, verse 29. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn, there it is right there, push with his horn in time past and has been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and his owner shall be put to death. What is the ox? It's a symbol of Baal, isn't it? It's a symbol of the Antichrist, the beast. The ox does what? He pushes with his horn. And if he has a reputation for doing that, what's going to happen to him? A stone is going to stone him. Daniel 2, a stone cut without hands. That's beautiful. I love it. Deuteronomy 33:17. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. See the similarity in the language, unicorn and horn. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So the Lord's glory is like the horn of a unicorn, and with that he's going to push the people together to the ends of the earth. God is going to force and enforce with the power of the horn. Exodus 27:2, and thou shalt make the horns of it upon the four corners. I like this one. Thou shalt make the horns of it upon the four corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. You know what that is? It's the altar. The altar has horns on it. What do horns do? They enforce. They make sure that things happen. So in Psalm 118:27, the Bible says, God is the Lord, which hath shewed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Why did they put horns on the four corners of the altar? By the way, that number four shows you that these represent, remember, the things in the tabernacle were a picture, a shadow of heavenly things. The four horns show you that these are exactly what Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 2, spiritual sacrifices in the four Gospels. So, you take a goat, and you lay the goat on the altar. The goat doesn't want to lay on the altar. What do you have to do to the goat to get him to lay on the altar? You have to tie him. You have to bind him. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. The horns are there to enforce the sacrifice. Because, I mean, I've caught fish before. Fish don't like it when you put a hook in their mouth and pull them out of the water. What do? They're going to fight, try to get off of there. Okay? I used to take them and squeeze them real hard. And my dad said, son, don't do that. Well, I don't know how to. My dad taught me, you take your thumb, put it in that fish's mouth, and just open his mouth up like that, hold him like that. He won't even hardly move. And going, this is really cool. It's like a bridle in a horse's mouth. You just pick that fish up, stick your thumb in his mouth like that, and hold him up like that. Never had a problem out of him. Whew. Boy, my dad, I miss him. But the horns of the altar were there to enforce the sacrifice. And I want to tell you something. When it comes to the last days, and God is ready to get rid of all of these beast devils, He's going to enforce His sacrifice. They're going to be thrown into the pit and kept there so they can't get out. Now, remember what we were just talking about a while ago with a horn and a cornet like a trumpet? Can you think of a story in the Bible where they used horns to destroy a city? Joshua chapter 6. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and we shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. That's what I'm waiting to hear. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up. I love it. Every man straight before him. And Joshua chapter 6, verse 6, And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. See, the horn represents, this is what's going to happen, and you can't stop it. Verse 8, And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets, seven horns, of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets in the ark of the covenant. The Lord followed them. Then look at verse 13. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, and the rearward, which is rearward, came after. I had to look that one up. Came after the ark of the Lord. In other words, there was the ark and what was rearward of the ark, what was behind the ark. The priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. So it is the seven horns that brought down Mystery Babylon the Great. I want you to think about this. How does John describe Jesus when he took the book out of the right hand of God in Revelation chapter 5? Let's look at it. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. The spirit, the words, the horns, the falling of Babylon. You know how Babylon falls? The word purified seven times. See, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, she loves to be in a church or a home or a religious institution where the Word of God is not always right and it's not always authority. That's where she gets in. You know what drives her out and destroys her? The seven horns. This word purified seven times, wherein rest the seven spirits of God. Because I'm just telling you, where the Word of God is, there's power. And you can just read the Word of God to people and they'll say, I don't have to do that. Do you know what they're going to be judged by and cast into the lake of fire by? The very Word that they rejected. You see, the Word is the horns of the Lamb, the seven trumpets, the seven horns, that when they sound, walls come tumbling down. Jericho is fallen, is fallen. You want to get rid of Babylon? Get the power of the force of the Word of God. How did Jesus make devils go away? Did he shoot them? Did he tie them up and lasso them like little calves in a rodeo? He spoke. And when the horns of the Word of God came out, those devils did what he told them to do because of the power of the enforcement of the words of God. Boy, this is so good. 1 Samuel 16:1. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now I want you to watch this. As Samuel takes oil from the horn, he anoints David, and what happens when the oil hits David? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That means that David is going to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is going to cause David to do what he does. So think of Revelation 13 and these 10 horns. That is the spirit of Antichrist getting into people. And they are going to do what he tells them to do. Because they're going to say, who's likened to the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And some of these people have concocted these ideas that there's going to be a secret underground movement of resistance in the last days against the beast. And they're not going to fall for that stuff because he's that, you know, European politician. Yeah, that's how it is. Are you kidding me? He's got 10 horns. And if you don't do what he tells you to do, you're going to do what he tells you to do. Period. Why? Because he's got the strength of the law, the Ten Commandments. He's got the horns to make you do. Spirits in people, just like the one who had devils and who lived in... Why did he live in the tombs? The spirits made him live in the tombs. Why is it that he broke the chains when they tried to bind him? Because the spirits decided they didn't want to be bound. They made that guy take his clothes off, live in the tombs, cut himself, scream, wail, break chains. They made him do that. But when Jesus, the horns, the seven horns showed up, it's just like two buck deer. These devils take this guy and say, this is mine. This is my property. This is my guy right here. And the bigger buck, Jesus, shows up and says, I'll take him from here. Oh, yeah? Jesus used the horns and scattered those devils out of that legion, drove them off because his horns were more powerful than their horns. Remember in Revelation 17, the 10 kings give their strength and their power to the beast, and they go against the Lamb. But the Lamb conquers them because the Lamb died for the sins of mankind. He fulfilled the law. Thus, he has the power to make men free from the bondage and the enforcement of the ten. Do you think that if you break the Ten Commandments that it's going to be okay and you won't be forced into hell? You're wrong. They have force. They have dominion. That's what that picture is of. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3, "The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation." If God says you're saved, He's going to enforce salvation on you. "My high tower, my refuge, my Savior, Thou savest me from violence." Now we're going to go to 1 Kings 22, 9. Still looking at this idea of the horn being force. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah." This is Hezekiah, I think, and Ahab. And here is, and Ahab says, "Oh, I'm going to go into battle and we're going to win and it's all going to be okay." And he's going, then there's somebody else we can talk to. Look at this story. The king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, I always get it wrong, it's Jehoshaphat, not Hezekiah. The king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hands." Well, how do you know? Well, he's got horns. He made horns of what? Iron. Think of the iron kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to tell you, you don't just go against iron. He's got horns of iron, and he says, with these, they're going to push those enemies. You're going to win. You got the horns. Sure. But then, oh, I like this part. Jehoshaphat's going, "Micaiah, what did you see?" And he said, "Hear thou, there." This is 1 Kings 22:19. "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on the right, on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said it this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth the Spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. I want you to think of these horns of iron as a picture of the Antichrist. And how does the Antichrist, how does this come about? It comes about by the lying prophets who have, God said, who's going to persuade Ahab to go into battle tomorrow? And one said this, and one said that, and another spirit said, me, pick me. How are you going to do it? He said, all I have to do, he said, the Lord, Ahab listens to these prophets. He pays them well. And they tell him whatever he wants them to tell him. And he believes them. He doesn't believe you anymore. And that whole deal with Naboth and all, and the vineyard and all that stuff, he's a shoe-in. I'll go and I will be in the mouth of the prophets of Ahab. And they'll tell him to go. And he'll go. And God said, go do it and prosper. You see, even the lying spirits are under the direction of God. Why? Jeremiah, the Bible says, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Why? Because there are people out there who don't want to know the truth. And God has enough lying spirits out there. It says, okay, you don't want to know the truth? Hey, liar. Go turn him on to a Kenneth Copeland video. Oh yeah, I love Kenneth Copeland. That's how it works. So how does the rise of the beast come about? I think it's the lying spirits that are setting up the kingdom of the Antichrist right now. I think that's what those horns of iron represent. Psalm 75:10. I got a few more verses here. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off. Why would God cut them off? So they don't have any power anymore. But the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Do we have horns? Do you have the seven spirits of God in you? Do you have the seven times purified word of God in you? Okay? Then greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he that is in the world has horns. But greater are the seven horns over the ten. Think about that for a while. Psalm 148:14. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel. A people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. Jeremiah 17:1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. The sin of Judah is graven, written with a pen of iron, the point of a diamond. It's graven upon the table of their heart. You know what that means? They can't cease from sin. It's written in there. And it's on the horns of their altars. And there are spirits that work through children of disobedience. They can't stop sinning. The horns enforce it. Lamentations 2:3. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. So now Israel has no power whatsoever. Before they had a horn. They had the power to push and to enforce and do what they wanted to. Now they don't. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy, and he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devoureth round about. Lamentations 2:17. The Lord hath done that which he had devised. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and hath not pitied. He hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. Think about who has the key of the bottomless pit right now. Jesus. He said, I have the keys of hell and death. But we see an angel, a star, fall from heaven, having been given the key of the bottomless. Who gave it to him? Jesus. Why? Because he knew he'd open the pit. Why did he want to open the pit? Because God is going to release the beast with the horns and set them up to use them to enforce his judgment upon a world that cares nothing about what God said. And they don't believe him. That's what those horns represent. God, this beast is not some politically savvy guy who maneuvers around and gets his way underhandedly. Oh, no, 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 no. This beast is a spirit that once in a person, that person does whatever the horns make him do. This is why you don't want to live for the devil. You want to live for the Lord. Because the seven horns of Jesus, the Lamb, the seven spirits, the sevenfold purified Word of God dwelling in you, all of a sudden now you're doing things that you never thought you had the power to do. How can you do that? Because the horns of the power of the Word of God give you that power. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Word of God. Mm-mm-mm. So here we have the Word of God. And we have we have the lost word. See the opposites? Okay, that's what that represents. All right. Horns and the name of blasphemy. I wonder what that is. I don't know. We're going to study some things next week, all right? Study things that are blasphemed in the Bible, all right? Hey, God bless you. I love you. Thank you for all your prayers for us. The kind words that you send, the support that you send, God bless you for it. We love you. We just appreciate being able to minister with you and among you and to you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.